Ronaldo's got that twist now and pivot in the air.
Yeah.
I look at him doing that and I'm thinking, ooh, be careful. Yeah. That's like cruise shit. That's potential cruise shit in the making.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Philippe Auclair, good morning to you. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me.
I don't know if you've read Philippe Lam this morning. It's carried in all the Irish newspapers. It's from The Guardian. He's talking about the...
Yes, I have.
The experiment of putting the humans on display the way that the rich people put luxury goods on display for us mere mortals to walk through and look at but don't touch. It's an interesting interesting metaphor for what's going on at the moment. And he's obviously a thoughtful footballer, former footballer. What's your you always have a very good sense of the geopolitics and what this all means. What does tonight's fixture mean to you?
To me? My goodness. To be honest, not much. Can I say that?
Yeah, go for it.
It's an interesting one. I mean, it's an interesting one for... I'm interested in it particularly on the PSG side. There's of course the whole geopolitical side of it, which is not perhaps as important today as it would have been, let's say, 2 years ago, or when there was a real tension between the United Arab Emirates and Qatar, and Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and Egypt and Qatar, and so on. And the situation has evolved since then. There has been some kind of rapprochement, which is purely of facade. But nevertheless, is there. So we don't quite have the same, a political aggro that we would have had in this strange derby of after a fashion a few years ago. But there is still, obviously, two models which are completely different in terms of the way that they are used in football and the way the methodology they use or the absence of methodology they use, but which are very similar in essence, despite what some people say that Manchester City is not really the Emirati project, it's Sheikh Mansour. But I think we're big enough to understand that Sheikh Mansour is the royal family of Abu Dhabi, and therefore it is Abu Dhabi. But they've gone about their business in a completely different fashion from Paris Saint-Germain. And what we have today, and I suppose that's what is interesting, is to see another confrontation between two superpowers, financial superpowers of football, who have gone about their business of trying to put a case for, well, the regime that they are basically representing in very different fashion. And one of them, which appears chaotic and is chaotic, which is PSG, the other, which is, appears to be extremely well thought and well organized, which is Manchester City. So you've got, a confrontation between two methods, if the PSG method can be called a method, because, to be honest, it's chaos. But it's worked up to a point. And I think the question is, well, which one is going to work in the end? Because they're both going after the same thing, which they still haven't won, which is the Champions League. So there are many things which are interesting. But in a way, this is a conversation we're having all of the time. Every time these two... cross path or every time we enter a new Champions League campaign, this is what it's about. With PSG, there's an added, I must say, I'm more interested in what is happening with PSG at the moment, because obviously there's such a circus around this team this season that I'm quite almost like I'm a spectator, and I'm quite intrigued to find out exactly how it's going to pan out. Because to be honest, if that's the way we are, and we are not yet in October, and we already have got all this circus around this particular team, my goodness, what is going to be in a couple of months' time? What is going to be at the end of the season? It's astonishing.
It really is, because their range of outcomes is almost endless. Like they could lose a couple of games now and Pochettino gets sacked and who knows what happens, or Pochettino might be somehow able to get a hold of things and they could go on a run, and everything in between is a potential outcome. It could just kind of peter out into nothingness with a quarterfinal defeat or a semi-final defeat where they get absolutely destroyed by a team who knows what they're doing. Maybe it'd be interesting to see them come up against Tuchel again. But in terms of that circus that's happening at the moment, how much control do you believe Pochettino is exerting, and you know, where is he in his evolution as somebody who is supposed to be in charge and is behaving like somebody in charge?
Only at the start. I mean, for a very simple reason, is that the main problem he's got to solve is how to play the three Fantasticos together. And that up till now, events have been such that he really didn't have a go at it. I mean, there was the game against Brugge. There was the games against Olympique Lyonnais. They were far from convincing, either of them. And we are back now. Messi has been out with a little injury, and he's back now to play against Manchester City. So here we go again at you know, the chalkboard and try to understand how to make this work. Because for the rest, I think he's identified more or less what he wanted his team to be. Certainly the players would be at the heart of it. But it's almost impossible for him to... it's almost impossible for him to materialize, so to speak, the idea he must have got in his mind of what his team should look like and play like, because, to be honest, it's not working. And you wonder how it can work. And these were the questions. I mean, I think what was most intriguing for us. We were all thinking, when Messi joined the club, how Pochettino is going to make this work with Mbappe and Neymar and Di Maria, let's not forget, is going to be absolutely fascinating to watch. Can he do it? And most of us, I would think, said, no, we don't think so. And we are now at a stage where there are now 8 rounds of the French League have gone past. We're in the second day of the Champions League. And to be honest, we don't have a much clearer idea of what's, if he has a solution in mind. So it's going to go on and on and on and on. So what kind of control has he got? Well, he's got some control. After all, don't forget, he subbed Lionel Messi. Not many people have done that. You know, it's one thing to sub him in a match when it's 5-0, 5 minutes to go. It's quite another to sub him when he did, when the outcome of the game was far from a cert. And in fact, they won after Messi went off the pitch. So you can see he has a measure of control. He's already exerted it. And believe me, in France, it was not about the game. It was about the cameras following Messi getting off the pitch, his facial expressions, his body language. What does it mean? And, you know, all this kind of speculation. But it had been a strong choice by Pochettino, which, by the way, worked. But he hasn't gone to the point where we can see that it is a step in the right direction, because what this direction takes him to, we don't know. We know what its defense is going to look like. We've got an idea of what his midfield is going to look like, especially now that Marco Verratti is back, fortunately for PSG. But as the team as a whole, we don't know. We don't know. It's, in a strange way, a little bit like what's happening with Manchester United. Solskjaer has been in place for a very long time. We still don't know exactly what kind of game he would like his team to play. Well, at PSG, with different players, different context, but it's about the same situation. We do not really know how he wants this team to play.
Does Maurizio Pochettino, Philippe, have the bottle to drop one of his three Fantasticos from the start in a big game?
I don't think it's going to happen against Manchester City, unless there are, you know, physical problems and so forth. I very much doubt it. I mean, you can imagine the consequences, the impact. When you see what's happened in France over the last 2 days, 2-3 days, because a camera and microphone picked what Kylian Mbappe was telling Idriss Gueye about Neymar. Can you imagine? I mean, it is, in a way, unmanageable. Or rather, it's unmanageable just like things were unmanageable at Real Madrid, you know, at one stage. As in, Pochettino is going to have to find a way where he can live above this constant hubbub and constant speculation, recrimination, stories invented or not invented, all this sort of, he's going to have to find a way to be above that. How it is possible at Paris Saint-Germain, to be honest, I'm not absolutely sure.
This Neymar-Mbappe beef is quite fascinating. Mm. What side of the fence do you reckon the PSG fans are going to fall down on this one? Because it does seem that the Mbappe love isn't what it once was.
No, it's not exactly what it once was, even though if you look at what's happened since the beginning of the season, of all the star players of PSG, Mbappe has been the most consistent and the most efficient. But it's true that the things he has said and the things he hasn't said, which pointed out his desire to leave the club, obviously for Real Madrid, haven't gone very well at all with part of the fans, of the supporters. So there's still an awful lot of there's a lot of Neymar love. There's obviously an awful lot of Messi love, and it's quite obvious that should there be a shift within the team between the three, I think most Parisian fans, strangely enough, would probably be happier to see Mbappe being the victim of it than the other two. But it's because of what happened, between the two seasons and this perception that he actually agitated for a move and that his behavior was not what he should have been, that he was not loyal to the club, all these sort of things. And of course, as we are nearing the end of his contract, which is June next year, things are not going to get exactly easier. So, of the three, Mbappé is obviously in the most delicate situation, even though on the pitch, he's the one who's been delivering the goods.
It feels to me like there is a manager out there who is perfect for this scenario of managing Galacticos, who...
Yes, there is, yes.
...aren't really that interested in the league, but who really, really desperately, absolutely want to win a Champions League and... What is preventing Zinedine Zidane from being the manager of Paris Saint-Germain?
An awful lot of things. It's a question that really intrigued me because I thought he would be perfect.
Mm.
And as well, don't forget that Zinedine Zidane was an ambassador for Qatar 2022, which helps. So obviously he will know an awful lot of people who are involved with QSI and PSG. But I've been told in no uncertain fashion by one person in particular who knows him quite well, that it was strictly out of the question. It was never going to happen. And is it because Zidane has quite a... He does know what it feels like at Real Madrid, and it was difficult enough at the time. And he thinks, oh, my goodness, that's literally from the frying pan into the fire, and that's one hell of a fire if I have to take care about those guys. And that also his main ambition now was to coach the French national team. And surely that cannot be happening in too long, because it's very unlikely, I find it very unlikely that Didier Deschamps should stay beyond the 2022 World Cup, which is only, to be honest, just a year away. So it's not going to happen. But I agree with you. I think it would be an obvious choice. I think that also in another way, they already had a manager who was perfect for this type of situation, whom they got rid of, who was Carlo Ancelotti. It would have been, I think, a much better kind of manager to have at that time, right now, than Pochettino, who tactically might be, people might say, a superior manager. And, yeah. But Ancelotti, again, big name, has won, the Champions League as a player as well as a manager, one of the most respected technicians. So you can carry on. And there aren't that many around who could take that kind of mantle, who have got the dimension, the aura. And yes, Zinedine Zidane is one of them. Pochettino, his strength is that he's a man who has got tremendous willpower. He's somebody who can have a vision and implement it. Somebody also who won't hesitate to take difficult decisions at one point or the other. The question is, will he be allowed to do so? And that with PSG, it's always a question. You never quite know, what their managers could achieve, because they don't have enough elbow space, so to speak, to do what they really want to do. Listen, they parted with Thomas Tuchel. I mean, how stupid have you got to be to do that? I mean, it defies belief. And now they're coming back, some of the PSG fans saying, well, maybe the Prem was not Tuchel. And you say, guys, that's what we've been saying from the beginning. You know, Ancelotti was not the problem. Not even sure that Unai Emery was the problem, because he's done all right. Actually, he might not be the kind of manager you want in a huge mega club. He might not be, I don't know, sexy enough. I don't know. Pochettino, you were all for him, and you carry on. And the list of managers said that the only managers, as you said, probably could withstand all this pressure and gel this very strange motley crew into a functioning unit are people like Carlo Ancelotti and, as you said, Zinedine Zidane. But it's not going to happen.
Okay, just purely for the theatre and the spectacle, it would be really interesting to see that happen. And Zidane has to kind of have some job between now and the end of the World Cup at the end of 2022. Or is it possible that somebody else might nip in ahead of him and be in pole position for the French manager's job? Or is that not what he says? My CV is good enough. I'm the absolute legend. I'm going to be capable of taking on the team no matter what after 2022.
Listen, if Didier Deschamps were to leave after 2022 and Zinedine Zidane were available and he was not picked by the French Federation, I think the headquarters of the French Federation would have to look at what happened at the Bastille on 14 July 1789 to get an idea of their choice, how good their choice was.
Okay, fair enough. He can have a nice year out, go and do some co-commentary in the World Cup, show up, be
absolutely
an ambassador.
Look at the take care of the career of his sons and do all these things. Absolutely.
Fair enough. What do you think will happen tonight in the game between Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City?
I would expect myself City to overwhelm PSG's midfield, despite the return of Verratti, for the simple reason is that we've got one team that, as we saw over the weekend against Chelsea, has probably got, there are no people do better what they do, which is the high pressure of the opponent very high up the pitch. And PSG is the absolute opposite. There's absolutely no pressure exerted by Mbappé, Neymar and Messi. So it's very easy, when you're Manchester City, to actually work out the ball from your own half. And then quite easy as well to outnumber in midfield and to press high. And for this reason, I cannot see beyond a Manchester City win, even if you have got a couple of strokes of genius, because that's always possible from either of these players, or even from the very unlikely source of goals that PSG has had since the beginning of the season, and Herrera, who's got as many goals as Kylian Mbappe and four times as many goals as Neymar, which is quite extraordinary thing to say. But I would say, yes, I would expect normally Manchester City to boss that game, to control it and to win it, unless, again, they have against... I mean, unless there's, exploits from the three, which is always possible. But normally, I mean, Manchester City is, not just on paper, is a far superior team at the moment.
Philippe, great to have you with us. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks a million.
I will. Thank you.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.